B-Pod Studios.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, well. Nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second free throw is good. Sixers down three. They have to go the length of the court in 1.8. No timeouts. Simmons throws it into the backcourt. Jimmy Butler steps around. Gordon Hayward does not get the shot away in time. And the Celtics have done it. Without Kyrie Irving, without Aaron Baines, they have come down to Philadelphia and beaten the Sixers again. And if it is always darkest, dawn may just have broken for the Boston Celtics. The final score, Boston 112, Philadelphia 109.
Dawn may just have broken? That's the first I heard that. Dawn may just have broken?
Oh, yeah, no. They turned the corner.
Yeah, but a very poetic way to put it. Sean Grandy on the call here on the Celtics Radio Network, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Felger and Maz. We'll start with that Celtics game last night in Philadelphia. They go in there and once again knock off the Philadelphia 76ers without Kyrie Irving, and somehow they did it without Aaron Baines, too. I don't know how they ever figured that out.
I mean, that was an achievement.
Your thoughts on that game last night, Maz?
So, look, good win. I mean, under the circumstances, to go in there, win the game, and I think it says more about the Sixers than I think it does about the Celtics. But that aside, I give the Celtics credit. They went in there. They won an important game, given what had happened over the weekend. To me, it had less to do with the fact that they won the game than it did with how they played and how they looked, and in the early part of it in particular. And so to me, I give them credit. I think people are overstating Hayward's role in that game, and I know we're going to get to some of that later. To me, the guy that really stepped up last night was Al Horford from out of the gate. You ever seen Horford lose his mind like that?
Yeah, right.
On a foul call early in a game, he goes completely bananas.
No, he was engaged, and he took it right to Embiid.
Right out of the chute. And you know what? On the defensive end, I'm sorry. Embiid's a moose. He is a freaking moose.
Kind of soft.
I don't think he's soft. I think he's lazy. I think he's lazy.
Something doesn't add up there.
I mean, to me, it's, you know, he tries to back Horford in, and Horford, to his credit, didn't give the ground, and so Embiid gives up and goes out and starts shooting threes all night. I mean, you got a guy that has a body like that.
So you don't consider that soft?
No, I consider it lazy.
Maz, you even tweeted about his body language. There is
horrible.
There is give up in that guy maybe more than any other player in the NBA. When things don't go his way, Joel Embiid checks right the hell out, and you see it every single time that he and the Sixers play the Celtics. Great win for them last night. But if there's one thing that this team doesn't have to worry about going forward, no matter what issues that they might have on the floor or off of it, they do not have to worry about the 76ers.
Oh, they own them.
They own that ass.
They really do.
And I have so many thoughts on the Sixers. I'm sort of with you. It says more about the Sixers. That's a game Philly has to win. Has to win.
10 turnovers? Oh, they play such stupid, awful basketball.
It's just... and
they play horrid defense.
Oh, their defense is wretched. And the Celtics have figured out how to play them. And Philly doesn't do anything differently. They find those little white boys on the floor, the little shooters, and they just pick on them and pick on them and pick on them and pick on them.
Redick and McConnell every time.
Oh, my God. It's just like, don't you get it yet? They're going to find that. They're going to switch it. They're going to go after them. I mean, they're just toying with them on that stuff. Last night, they went after Embiid and Tobias Harris as well, which was smart, getting those guys into foul trouble, particularly Embiid. But they just know how to play them. And I've got a million thoughts on the Sixers. I hate that team.
So do I.
I hate them.
Yeah. I don't know how, like, as frustrating.
I think they're the biggest fraud perpetrated on the American sporting public in all of sport.
That team needs a coach. They need a real coach.
The process. Would you stop it? They play like a bunch of idiots.
Gutless.
Gutless idiots. Okay, but still a good win for you, and use a lot of good things there for you. And I did sort of predict this, Maz, you know, because you go in there and you win without Kyrie Irving, you know what immediately is going to happen. Are they better with Kyrie? Or better without Kyrie, rather, is what I should say. Are they better without Kyrie? Are they better without Kyrie Irving?
No.
No.
Well, I think a lot of people feel differently.
I know, and I think they're completely out of touch, but keep going.
I think a lot of people feel differently.
Planet Deluja, here we are again.
Well, how do you explain the record? And it's a big sample now. You know, they had a better record without him last year. Okay, and that was a pretty big stretch of games. They have a better record without him this year. This year, they are 8-2 without Kyrie Irving. And, of course, I don't have it at the top of my hand what they are with him, but they have a better record without him than with him. How do you explain that? And going back last year as well, and the fact that they, you know, the best they've played is when they were running through the playoffs last year without him. So how do you explain it?
I think you can get away with it the large majority of the time against anybody but championship caliber competition in the NBA. That's what I think. That you can beat a lot of teams on a lot of nights, but if you want to win a championship, you're not good enough. And that's the only way. You can tell me, you can give me all the numbers you want till you're blue in the face about how good they are in the regular season and even in some of the early playoff rounds.
So, I mean, but you don't think the competition last year was good for the Celtics into the playoffs?
No, I think it's different. That's why I say championship caliber. When you go against championship caliber teams with real talent, if you don't have real talent to match, you're going to lose.
So, I mean, it didn't take long. I mean, people emailing me immediately. Donnie, forward, subject line, better without Kyrie. It's hard to debate it anymore, Felger. They are just a different lineup without Kyrie. At some point, you have to juxtapose the results, and let the scoreboard speak for itself. Sorry. He spells S-O-R-R-E-Y, sorry. We've got subject line, mouthy little peanut.
That's pretty good.
This is from Sal in Lowell. He says, Mike, please tell me why I should like Kyrie more than the mouthy little peanut. Please tell me why I should accept Murray's posthumous bashing of Thomas and your salivating over Kyrie's talent. What's the difference? And he goes on a long email. I'll spare you it. But basically, what's the difference between this guy and the mouthy little peanut? Here from Michael. I DVR'd the game, so I'm starting here in the fourth quarter and sending you this. The problem with the 2018-19 Celtics, I'm finding out, is Irving. Yes, he's the best player on the team, but almost every time he's hurt or otherwise doesn't play, and hurt is in quotation marks, every time he's quote-unquote hurt or otherwise doesn't play, the Celtics fight through their struggles and look competitive or just come out playing with more team from the jump. I mean, again, how about this one? This is from David. He says, Felger, Maz, the elephant in the room for the Celtics is that they've been a better team with Rozier as a starting point guard than they've been with Kyrie. I just heard you discussing on and on and on and on and on. Game wasn't 20 minutes old before I got all that.
Again, what do you? So listen, I get some of those emails too. What do you believe?
I believe that their ceiling's higher with Kyrie Irving. There's no doubt about that. Their ceiling is higher without Kyrie Irving.
With Kyrie Irving.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Their ceiling is higher with Kyrie Irving. Obviously. This is a fact that not even you can debate. It hasn't translated.
No. It hasn't translated, agreed.
Okay, so it hasn't translated. That doesn't mean it can't translate. But they should be better with Kyrie. They just haven't been. So I don't know why. I'm parsing these answers. I think and I've been telling this for a while. There is a path to a championship, and there's another way to go than other than Kyrie Irving and chasing Anthony Davis. There is another way to go than chasing these guys that, let's face it, probably don't want to be here and are sort of antithetical to how you built the thing in the first place. So I think there's another path. Are they better with Kyrie Irving? They should be. That's the answer. Is that parsing it too much? They should be, but they haven't been. I mean, who can argue with that?
So look, again, they play collectively. They play better when he's not on the floor. I don't think that that's wrong to say that, but they're not going to win a championship without him.
And that's it. It's as simple as that. So you can have a repeat of the last couple of years. You might make a couple of deep playoff runs like you did before, but that will be it. You need to have a finisher like Kyrie Irving to hit the biggest shots and the biggest moments that he has in the past if you want to win a title.
I just take you back to that Toronto game here at the Garden and the way Kyrie finished that game, you know, and that was the last time they'd had a little funk and they were in a little bit of a losing streak.
Well, but I'm sort of cut you off, but how'd they do it last night?
Okay, but again, it was Philly.
Well, no, but they still got to make those plays down the stretch, and they did.
Okay, but again, against Philly.
What does it matter?
It makes a big difference. The other teams get Kawhi Leonard. They get a championship-caliber player on the floor. Who's the championship-caliber player on the floor for Philly?
Tie game, down 2 points. You got to make the shot. They made the shots last night.
But on the one hand, okay, but again.
Here's my point.
Against Philly.
That Kyrie Irving's not the only guy who can hit a shot for you.
Yeah, it's different.
Why can't Jason Tatum be that guy? And why can't Gordon Hayward get back and be that guy?
Well, he can if he's wide open in the corner and someone passes him the ball. But what's he going to do when someone's draped all over him and you're going against championship caliber competition?
He passes it to Tatum, who then takes the guy one-on-one.
Yeah, and I'm telling you that it's not the same. See, this is the mistake that people make. The mistake that people make is they think that just because you can do it against Philly on February 12th, that you can do it in May against Kawhi Leonard.
So look,
and you can't.
I know it sounds, again, antithetical. It sounds like it doesn't compute that the best player is taken away and you're somehow better. But I'm here to tell you, in other sports, that does exist. There's no question that in football, hockey, maybe even baseball, these sports where you're not all dependent on your best player. I know in basketball you are. I know in basketball you are. You generally are. But I don't know. I think look, they should be better with Kyrie. They have a higher ceiling with Kyrie. They just haven't reached it. And it hasn't translated. It is yet to translate. And there's something off with this team. And I don't know. I mean, who could deny that? And it's
You don't get max effort from some guys like Jaylen Brown because he doesn't like Kyrie Irving.
See, that's what I think it is. I think they don't like him. I think it's his personality. I don't think it has anything to do with his ability on the floor.
Well, how about the fact that he's, you know, taking minutes and shots? And so when Kyrie's out there, it's less of a thing, and it's less of a spread the ball and what they do and what they've built and what they went to Game 7 on last year. It's more about him. And the players are responding poorly to that. His teammates are responding poorly to that.
Yes, I think even the coach maybe is responding poorly to it. Because Stevens, again, believes in sort of this system, this team play, all of which is great. It's great to watch. Okay, it's all good. I'm telling you, it's very pleasing as a fan and as a viewer to watch them, the way they play together, the way they fight through it, all of that. It's very pleasing. It's only going to get you so far.
You could have set a watch to this last night.
It was so coming.
They're not better overall without him, but the bottom line is, with or without him, they're better than the Philadelphia 76ers. What a gutless bunch they are.
Oh, I could spend all show bashing the Sixers. Oh, my God. There's so much wrong with that team.
There's so
much I hate about Philadelphia.
But this is sort of my point, is that, like, okay, you can do what you did and beat the Philadelphias of the world because Philly's a good team, not a great one. They're not really championship caliber. But what happens when you go up against the real iron, the really great? You need that star player, and they're going to lose. So without Kyrie, they lose.
With Kyrie, they are 28-19. That's a .596 winning percentage. Without him this year, they're 8-2. That's an .800 winning percentage. Even that's a little misleading because with Kyrie includes that game against the Clippers the other night where he was out for, you know, 2.5 quarters and they lost the lead without him on the floor. But it really, so I understand there's a little gray area there, but it doesn't account for the sample last year. They had a better record without him last year than with him last year. And they were a really good playoff team. Almost went to the NBA Finals without him last year. I think it's fair to say that past tense, they've been a better team without him than with him. They shouldn't be, but that's just his ability and his greatness has not translated to the team record. It just hasn't.
I think it's his personality.
Now, I can explain the 8-2 this year because the games that he sat out have generally been against garbage. Garbage. The 10 teams that he sat out against are Utah, New Orleans, Minnesota, Dallas, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Cleveland, and then Philly last night. So, you know, Brooklyn, Cleveland, twice, you know, Charlotte at home. Like,
okay. They picked their spots.
They've definitely picked their spots. So I can explain away their good record without him this year based on the competition. Last year the competition was they faced good competition. They went in the playoffs and were a really good playoff team without him.
Mike, they don't like him. I'm with Murray. They don't like him. He's a hard guy to like.
Okay, your thoughts. Last night's game, this old Kyrie situation. Oh, guess who's out again tonight? But might play in the All-Star game. If you listen to Brad Stevens say on the midday show with Beadle and Zoe, Stevens was sort of clearing the decks for Kyrie to play in the All-Star game, even though he bagged out last night and is sitting out again tonight.
I mean, talk about spin. Okay, we'll wait till you hear this.
All of that with your calls right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
At the end of the day, the question is, are they better long-term without Kyrie Irving?
This will be Kyrie Irving's final season with the Celtics.
They are not. So this is the thing.
But they're not better.
No, they are a good team, and like these young guys might play well, but ultimately to reach the height, if your goal is to win a championship, you are not better without Kyrie Irving. That is
Agreed.
But despite that, you believe he's gone.
But think about it. This collection of talent was built around Brad Stevens' ability to play pace and space. Kyrie Irving is so very talented with the basketball and isolation situations and closing games. You must give it to him.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
But when he's not there, you see the ball moving, Tatum playing well, Horford playing well, Hayward playing well. I think ultimately that's what they go back to.
That's Jalen Rose on The Get Up, The Greenberg Show, which we watch. We pull sound from that from time to time. First of all, Jalen Rose says Kyrie Irving's gone. And he says, but they're not better without him. And then he says, well, they're really built to be something else. And Irving sort of gets in the way of that because you got to feed them. But they're built around spreading the ball and the coaching and all of that, which is true. So Jalen sort of spoke around it all. But, well, your thought.
Well, so I think pretty much he's got it nailed. I think that this is the problem with that league, is that what Stevens is building is a team game, dare I say, like a college structure. Like, you know, you spread it out among the five guys and you pick apart the competition. That's what you do. And they're good at that. It only gets you so far in the NBA.
Okay, but isn't that what the Warriors did?
Okay, except the year they won it, Kyrie Irving got hurt and LeBron was alone. So, like, fine. I mean,
so you're talking before Durant?
Yes. Yeah, before Durant. Like, I think, because I think the Celtics patterned themselves after that early Warriors model, which is fine. Again, you know, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, terrific. First of all, you have two of the great shooters in the history of the league, number one. But then beyond that.
But a team game.
Right, a team game. But the only time that team won it was when Kyrie got hurt in the finals. Okay, then LeBron was left alone, and that was it. They needed Durant to get by LeBron after that. And because obviously they lost the next one. They won 73 games the next year in the regular season, and then they lost. And so I just think it only gets you so far. Sooner or later, you need that guy at the end of the game who, when everybody in that league is actually trying and playing defense, can still make a shot.
I agree with you, Maz. But you know what? I'm edging towards this other side of it, and I just might get there. Which is, you know what, Kyrie, see you later. Like, it's more trouble than it's worth. I mean, how many times do we have to hear from his circle or around that he's gone? Right, so he doesn't want to be here. Then fine, bye. Right, so he doesn't want to be here. Anthony Davis wants to be in L.A. So you're building something, and you're going to blow that all up for a couple of guys that you got to twist their arm to get here. You don't know if they're going to stay, and they're a pain in the ass in the meantime. And I'm edging towards that other thing, which is just, you know, see ya. Never mind then. Because, I don't know, they're pretty good without him, and there's a path without him. And oh, by the way, they don't want to be here. So if they wanted to be here, maybe I'd be closer to that. But they don't. So you're shoehorning and forcing these guys here, which that's a long shot too.
Okay, so but you got to make a choice. What's the goal?
The goal is to win a championship, of course, multiples.
Okay, you're not going to win one with Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward.
And a third guy that you pick up in a couple of years that I told you yesterday.
Okay, but now again, so now we're pinning it to something that we don't know. What's the difference?
No, instead let's pin it to two guys who don't want to be here.
Well, just keep it to this year's team as presently constituted. How did their guard shoot last night? Were you good with the way that Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier shot the ball last night?
Well, not Rozier, I mean, is better than that. Smart's not.
Yeah, but Rozier's inconsistent. That's the thing. Okay, yeah, he's better than that sometimes.
Yeah, no, I'm. You know, all I know is what they had last year went to Game 7 of the East. And this is not a championship team, but again.
Yeah, but that's like the Patriots going 11-5 without Brady. Like, you know, that 08 team.
That was a good record.
Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs.
It's a good record. That was a good showing. And so I'm not telling you they're a championship team. I'm telling you that they're building something. And I don't know the value of building around guys that don't want to be here. Like that someone's got to explain to me the value of that. They don't want to be here.
I'm not telling you Kyrie's likable because he's not. But if you want a championship, you got to put up with it.
Brian in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Brian. Lead us off today.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You guys got a great show. My opinion is that I think the Celtics are better without Kyrie. He doesn't provide the leadership, like, say, Larry Bird or Paul Pierce did, and that causes some dissension on the team. Look back at December when he was publicly bashing some of his own teammates.
There's a lot. I'm just going to stop you there, Brian. There's a lot of examples of it. His leadership has not translated. His greatness has not translated. They have not been a better team with him on the floor than without him. Their ceiling is higher, should be higher. They haven't reached it, and you tell me why. There's a lot of fans who think they're better without Kyrie. Maz.
Listen, and again, based on the results, I can't say that they're wrong in terms of how they've played. But if you want a championship, you're not going to win it without him.
I want to hear from you folks. The folks that think that they're better without Kyrie. Go ahead, Bob in Boston.
Hey, guys. I got to say that watching that game last night, and great discussion, by the way, made me both miss Kyrie and not miss him. I'll explain briefly.
Quickly.
It made me miss him. Yeah, quickly. It made me miss him because if it had come down to the last shot for the Celtics, of course we would have wanted Kyrie out there. He can dependently create his own shot. It made me not miss him because I think it's so great for those all those other good shooters to get more touches. It's great for morale. It's great for their growth. And so it's really a tough one. I think that's what your discussion is bearing out.
Okay, I would just say that Kyrie's your best option to take the last shot. But he's not your only one. He's not your only one. And Gordon Hayward has been a shadow of himself. But if he just takes an extra year and gets back to what he is, that's another guy that takes a shot at the end of the game. And Tatum should absolutely be that guy. So I don't know why Kyrie is the only guy that, you know, the only guy that can take the last shot.
He's not the only guy that can take the last shot. But if we're going, and look, again, I have the same conundrum everyone else does. I like them better when he's not out there. I do. I like them better when he's not out there. But if you have a good defender in that league guarding anybody on the Celtics, who's most likely to score on the Celtics?
Yeah, I know.
It's Kyrie. And so at the end of the game, that's the reality. You know, and in the playoffs, that's what that league is. It sucks. I hate it too. God, do I hate it.
But this guy, last year, Jimmy, what did Kyrie do last year? How would you describe it?
He got them home court advantage throughout the playoffs.
Oh, I was expecting a different answer.
No, yeah, he was looking for you to say he shut it down.
Oh, he shut it down.
This is what you've been saying off the air.
Well, I think someone's trying to go tonight and have his fancy seats. That's why.
So is there a case to be made last year that he shut it down?
Ask him tomorrow.
Okay, that's what I thought. He's been saying that in my ear for like a day. He shut it down last year.
Mike, he shut it down last year.
I don't know if he did, but I do know that he had a chance to be there, at least on the bench, to offer support and whatever knowledge that he could against his former team Cleveland in the East Finals. And in Game 7, he went to get a nose job because he had a movie junket. That I do know. Whether he could have played or not, who knows. But I do know that he could have been there to give his team insight on his former team, support on his former team, sit on the bench and be a Celtic, and he went to get a nose job because he wanted to look a certain way for the movie junket. So that I know. I also know that he sat out last night, he's sitting out tonight, but it looks like they're going to let him play in the All-Star game.
Scary.
And I just have a feeling because G. Williker's here, Brad Stevens, copyright Adam Jones. Adam Jones is on the midday show today, and they ask him about this. And he starts off, and he says, well, basically, you know, it's all depending on when he's ready. And he's not ready tonight, but he could be ready this weekend. So if we had a game this weekend, he'd be playing, and it would listen.
And I actually look at it as, to be honest with you, if he can, it's a good thing to be able to run up and down the court a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't played in a while. And so even though those All-Star games are, you know, just glorified pickup games in a lot of ways, I think, you know, just being able to run up and down, move a little bit, get ready. We play next Thursday in Milwaukee. And, you know, if you're not able to do that for now going on 2 weeks or 12 days, it's not as advantageous. So if he can, even if he can move a little bit, if he is cleared to play, especially if he was, you know, fully 110% healthy, then I would encourage him to run.
I hate that answer.
I'm telling you, I heard this on the way in.
So did I.
I heard it on the way in, and I went, oh, here they go.
This guy.
Here's their route.
I was yelling no in my car. Like, don't do this. Don't try to make it right, because Once I heard that, I was like, he's going to play Saturday night. Oh, yeah. He's playing Saturday night. You've got to be kidding me.
Out tonight, but he'll be there for the All-Star Weekend.
Yep.
Well, it's good for him to run up and down the court. No, that's one way to get him back. That's the best way we feel like
he can't do that. Already told
Stop
him.
Stop it.
He's already told him he's going.
No, not even. Maz, it might not even be that. They're terrified of him because they want the marriage to happen. Right. And they can't tell the fiance,
right.
You can't go out drinking with your friends tonight, dear. I don't care if you have a party girl past. Are you going to tell the hot girl that? Yeah, good luck, because she's going to run. And if you want to marry her, like they say that they want to, come July 1st, you can't say nothing.
So, look, I've said this to you before.
I mean, hold on. Can we just break down quickly what a steaming pile of crap that is? Like, he needs the All-Star game to run him down the floor?
Yeah, no. He's got to get his
Such run. A crock.
He can't do that on his own?
No, can't do that with a team trainer or anything like that.
That's a glorified pickup game. He can't find another pickup game?
Correct.
Or they create their own pickup game for him?
They have a beautiful new facility. Go do it there. Go practice there.
What a pile of crap.
And Stevens even said in the cut, and again, forgive me if it wasn't in that segment of it, but in that whole answer, because it's a longer answer, he even says, no, look, you know, all these guys have to do something because we're away from it so far for such a length of time. We can't have tabs on them, so they got to create their own pickup games. They got to create their own environments to stay on the floor and be active. So why can't he do that? Why can't he do it under team supervision?
So this guy, you've been better without him than with him.
Got to keep that fiance happy.
He doesn't want to be here. He is a handful, and that's just being kind. And so what? What, we're going to chase a guy that doesn't want to be here and is a pain in the ass, and chase another guy that doesn't want to be here, and who knows, you know, what he is. We don't even know the cut of his jib yet. We know Kyrie. I mean, really, I think there's a case to do that other thing. I do. Murray's update's right here, and then we're right back with more of your thoughts on the Celtics.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now Marcus Morris on the wing. Return to Horford straight away. 10 on the shot clock. Back to Morris, left wing. Everything on the perimeter. 7 on the shot clock. Morris drives in traffic. Kick out in the corner. Hayward open. 3. Oh. Got it! Gordon Hayward having a game of his Celtic life tonight in Philadelphia. And Boston leads by 2.
Somebody spank that man.
Well, not only scoring it, he was playing. We played with him in the pick and roll, you know, a ton tonight. And we wanted to try to play, you know, with our bigs out and lifted and those types of things. But he's been great at that all year. And then when he makes shots, everybody writes nice things, right? I mean, at the end of the day, he's a really, really good playmaker. And today he also was able to play off of some extra passes. And some other people found him and he made them. And so it's a good feeling.
Gordon Hayward with, what was it, 6 3-pointers. The last one, that corner one, a big one.
It was huge.
Big one. You know, for all intents and purposes, the game winner. And Stevens afterwards, pumping up his boy, wants to say that we wanted to run it through, and then he caught him.
He caught himself. We wanted to run it through. He stopped himself.
He didn't want to admit that they were running it through Gordon Hayward for whatever reason. But your thoughts on Gordon Hayward's night?
So, look, I mean, the box score is great. I'm still not sure he was any different than he's been all year. I mean, did we see some sort of explosiveness athletically?
I think you saw more confidence. There was no hesitation in his game. That's thought that was the best thing that I saw out of him. It's like, whoa, okay, this is what they signed or they thought they were getting.
I agree. That's the exact word popped into my mind. He looked confident, right?
Totally.
But in terms of the quickness or the, I didn't see anything different. Now, the shots went in. So, and everybody's making a big deal out of Hayward, and I get it.
But Matt's confidence.
Yeah, no question. Murray's he was more right. confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely he was. He was decisive.
And assertive and decisive, exactly.
Yeah, and I do like the idea of him having the ball coming off a pick there at the top. You know, just either at the three-point line or at the top of the key and being able to survey the floor.
Good passer, good shooter.
He is. He's got great court sense and good court vision. He's got all of that. That final three he made, that play was Marcus Morris, not Gordon Hayward. The fact that Marcus Morris drove to the basket late in the game, drew a defender and passed it is a damn near miracle. Seriously, tell me you for a second there, did you think he was actually going to pass or going to shoot?
What can I tell you?
I mean, he's
that kind of night for him.
Okay, so to me, it was Morris made that play. He drove to the basket, sucked the defenders over. Hayward's wide open in the corner, and he actually gave up the ball.
But even still, in other games, when even something like that had happened, and it's starting to teeter a little bit, thanks to Marcus Smart, who's shooting the 76ers back into the game, that ball goes to Hayward, and it's like, clang. No, that as soon as he got it, it's like, oh, this is going in. Because the prior few, again, starting to teeter, they were nails. Like, there was nothing, there was no hesitation in his game the whole night.
I mean, and the other thing quickly, just about all the threes, clean as a whistle right. They went through. I mean, there was nothing, they weren't rim rattling or anything else. They were clean as a whistle, every single one of them.
Can I get 2 minutes on the Sixers?
Sure.
Please.
I hate that team. I hate them. I think.
With good reason.
Again, the biggest fraud propagated on the American public in all of sport. Seriously. Stupid team. Soft team. Their coach can't figure it out. They can't shoot. And the couple guys that can are a joke on the defensive end. Okay? But they can't shoot, including at the line. So one of their few players who has some intangible quality to him is Jimmy Butler. And he draws these late fouls on three-point shots. Okay? Smart plays. He draws the foul. He sort of embellishes. Gets to the line for three. And he'll miss two in these key situations. They can't even shoot effing free throws. This Ben Simmons, I think Ben Simmons sucks. I feel like he sucks.
You'll get no argument from me on anything that you've said so far. I hate watching this team.
Maybe the most overrated player in the league.
If he's not in transition, what does he do?
Oh, just has lazy turnovers. So that's basically all. That's his game.
So last night, but all because he can't shoot. That team can't shoot. So a couple times he got into the lane last night and hit little, you know, like 8-foot jump shots. So that at least I saw. He got that a little bit. But He can get to the rim, but what's the point if you can't shoot free throws? He'll get to the rim, draw a foul, and clang both of the free throws. So what's the point of this guy? Just foul him.
He was 2 of 7 from the line.
Oh, that's a joke.
2 of 7.
One sequence there, Tatum beats him for a three-pointer. So Simmons comes down, like, I'm going to back him down. He backs him down in the low block. It's Tatum in the low block. Should be an advantage for Simmons. He travels. Like, you suck. Get off the floor. And again, the McConnell Redick thing is just a joke. And I don't know. I guess other teams don't pick on them like the Celtics do, but the Celtics have figured those two out so long ago, and it becomes almost embarrassing. I jotted down one sequence where Jaylen Brown just abused him. Then the very next trip down the floor, the Celtics were just toying with the poor kid. Opie out there where they're switching and they get a matchup like Horford on him, and it's not quite a perfect look, so we'll kick it back out, we'll screen again, we'll switch him on another guy. It wasn't quite the right matchup. It wasn't as easy as it could be, so we'll kick it back out, we'll switch again, we'll get him on another match. Finally, Jimmy Butler came over and said, screw this, and Jimmy Butler came over to help the little punk, and the next thing you know, lane's wide open, backdoor cut, ob dunk, and even then, the dingleberry there on the sidelines, what's the coach's name over there? Brown?
Brown.
Call timeout immediately. Like, even he noticed it enough. The Celtics just toy with McConnell, especially, but Redick, they just toy with those guys. It's a joke.
And Philly doesn't know how to play defense to cover it up. That's the thing.
And so, smartly, they go at Embiid, get him in foul trouble, go at Harris. It turns out he doesn't play D either.
No. You know what? He had a bad game last night, too. He wasn't good at all, I thought.
7 or 0-6 from 3.
Like, yeah, he was bad last night.
What a dumb team. The Sixers are so dumb. They take stupid shots. They take shots at the wrong time of the shot clock. I mean, at the very end of the game, they need a 3 to tie it. Embiid goes up underneath the basket for 2 when there's 1.8 seconds left. You have to kick it out. The game's over. You idiot. I think Embiid's a moron. I think a basketball moron. I don't know what he is away from the floor.
He's lazy. He's lazy, lazy, lazy.
On the floor, this guy's a moron. He's got 5 fouls. So he's trying to protect himself to not get, you know, fouled out, obviously. Except there's now under 30 seconds left, and Marcus Smart is going in for an uncontested dunk. Celtics are up 2 points. There's under 30 seconds left, and here comes Marcus Smart on an uncontested dunk, and Embiid just stands there because he didn't want to foul out.
Right.
Well, the game's over, dude. When you give him the four, when you give him the dunk, you're now down 4 with, I think, 23 seconds left. It doesn't matter whether you're in the game or out of the game. You've just lost the game. Idiot. He doesn't get it. Like, he doesn't compute. There's no basketball sense. with Joel Embiid going back up for that two-pointer when you had to kick it out. There were 1.8 seconds left, you idiot. And then not contesting that dunk. So what if you get fouled out? At least there's a chance there to keep it a one-possession game. You just handed them the game by giving them that dunk, but you stayed in the game. You stayed in a game that was over.
That team needs a real coach.
They lose their minds when they play the Celtics. They really do. The Celtics are so far in that team.
I hate that team.
Insane.
The Celtics versus Philadelphia are 10-2 in the last 2 years. Since 2014-15, when did Brown get there? Since 2014-15, they're 21-3. The Celtics are 21-3 against that team. Has no one else figured out the Sixers? Make stupid Ben Simmons shoot and go at McConnell and Redick on defense, and now apparently Harris too. And it, I mean, like, oh, they have the most talent in the East. All these basketball people keep saying this. They don't know how to play the game.
No, they don't. I'm telling you. And look, this is, look, I'm not telling you that they're a title contender because they're not. But this is one of those where if you took the coaches and flipped them, Philly beat the Celtics.
I still don't know if the Sixers have enough guys who can shoot.
Stevens figure it out.
But well, Simmons, again, like if he was worked more in the paint, he'd have a better game. His stupid lazy fadeaways.
Oh my God.
So bad.
Simmons should be a power forward. That's what he should be. And I almost mean like a point power forward.
No. He's like Rondo, except Rondo's a better shooter.
Rondo is a better shooter.
No, I mean, he's a glorified Dennis Schroeder, Rajon Rondo, these point guards who can't shoot, except he really can't shoot. I mean, like really, really, really can't shoot. He can barely shoot a 5-foot shot. And if so, just follow him, send him to the line. It's useless. Butler, I like his intangibles, but idiot, and he can't shoot. I think Embiid plays like a complete moron. The coach is clueless. Those two gunners that they have out there are just a joke defensively. They're just easy to play against.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Again, I think a lot of it's the coaching. I do, because I think if, like, to me, and again, I'm not here to defend the Sixers. I liked them a lot last year, but they are. They're a dumb team. If they had a real coach with some sort of pedigree that could keep these guys in line, because Embiid's lazy and Simmons plays dumb, but Butler's, to me, makes stupid mistakes, too, and his shot, boy, is it flat. Did you guys notice that last night? How flat his shot is?
I'm sorry, who's?
Butler.
Thud.
Well, no, his free throws. His free throws hit the bottom of the rim.
He front rimmed him. He gagged.
The bottom of the front rim.
Holy crap, did he front rim him.
The team is painful to watch. I don't know how any Sixer fan can stand it. I can't stand it.
And from a national NBA standpoint, they keep trying to sell this as some kind of rivalry.
Oh,
like,
my
stop
God.
It with that. Please.
So, anyway, I just got to get that off my chest. I find so much wrong with that team. So much to hate about. It's clueless.
What
stupid.
Did you say? 10-2 or 14-2?
They're 10-2 in the last 2 years, 21-3 since 2014. 21-3!
It's like the Patriots against the Bills.
Good God! Okay, sorry about that. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Nass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
They get the win, but does it complicate things?
Okay, so we have a big dumpster fire in L.A., we have a small dumpster fire brewing here in Boston, right? And it's because, look, you have the Anthony Davis situation. You have Jason Tatum saying, hey, I wouldn't mind being the face of a franchise. Why are you have a chance to win a championship with this team, and you're talking about being the face of the New Orleans Pelicans. Like, that lets you know that things are brewing. And obviously with Kyrie being out and them getting this win against a quality Philly team lets you know that things are a little awry.
That's Richard Jefferson on the situation last night, again on the Get Up Show on ESPN. We continue with your thoughts. Celtics better without Kyrie Irving? Pete in Delaware, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, we got on Jason Tatum yesterday a little bit about the comments. My thing with Kyrie, and I said it yesterday, if he plays in his All-Star game, what commitment does he have to the present with this team? He's only looking at the future, and that's part of the problem. It's not, I mean, this is about Kyrie, too. Kyrie is not committed to this team. He goes and plays on Sunday. He didn't even play in the playoffs last year because of a knee. And he's going to play on Sunday? What message does that send?
Oh, it's a bad look. Ooh, it's a bad look. But the team knows it. And that's why Stevens today is already clearing the deck for it.
Oh, yeah, no, they're going out of their way to oh, yeah, they're giving him an out. And look, again, they have to do it this way, in some way, because if you want to keep the guy happy and re-sign him, you got to kiss his ass until his name's on the contract. But you know what? This didn't even occur to me, and I don't even know why until now, and I'm sure if it's come up, man, I probably just wasn't paying attention. But the whole thing in Golden State about Durant, right? Like with Draymond Green, you're out of here anyway. What if the same thing's going on here? What if these young guys are looking at him going, what the hell are you talking about? You're out of here at the end of the year. You're not part of the long deal.
Something like that.
I mean, I wonder if there's any measure of that going on. Like, how can Kyrie expect guys to follow him if he won't commit to the cause himself? See, to me, so I'm with Murray. I think the problem, I don't think it's a basketball problem. I think it's a personality problem. Kyrie's a different kind of cat. And you know what? He's not a leader, and he thinks he is, and it's a problem.
We've got Mike in Rockport. Hi, Michael.
Hey, I just want to call to talk about Kyrie today. So listen, he's, you know, this guy's the most clutch player for the Celtics that they've had in the past 5 years. You know, he's got great character. He's an amazing player. And that guy makes his return tonight for the Denver Nuggets. Now, going forward with Kyrie, the whole thing is here. This guy is essentially Carmelo Anthony, okay? You can put LeBron.
That's an insult.
Yeah, it is an insult. Exactly. They both won one title. Carmelo's just happened to be in college, but like anybody could win with LeBron. And what you have going on here is Kyrie's got to be one of the worst leaders of all time.
Okay, so that's just a little strong, Mass. You just jump in because I know.
Look, he's not. I mean, let's not get stupid. He's way better than Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony was a born loser, for crying out loud. Kyrie's got some of the attributes of a winning player on the floor. What he is not is a leader. This is what he thinks he is. He thinks he's like, you know, walking around with a staff in his hand and having everybody follow him, for crying out loud. He's not that kind of guy. His personality is a problem.
Okay, he's a brilliant basketball player. They should be better with him. Okay, but here are the facts so far. They have not been better with him. They've been better without him. That's just the one loss record, and that includes good competition deep into the playoffs last year. They've been better without him, so he hasn't translated, A. B, I don't know how committed he is to the team. He won't even show up for Game 7 of the East Finals last year because he's getting ready for his movie junket. Now, he's sitting out the last two games of the first half of the season, but apparently he's going to play in the All-Star game, or that's sort of the sense you got from hearing Stevens today. So, you haven't been better with him. He's not committed to the team in the short term, and it looks like he doesn't want to be here long term. So, what are we doing? So what's the point of this? And the more and more people I hear say he doesn't want to be here, I just... Even Antoine Walker. Antoine, what was this from? What show was he on?
One of those FSN shows.
Okay, so one of the...
Looks like he could eat Kyrie Irving.
Well, I think sure. He probably has. A couple of Kyries. He put the mouthy little peanut and Kyrie, one in each cheek.
Dip you in duck sauce.
Mm. But here's, Antoine Walker. Antoine says Kyrie should want to be in Boston, but does he think he actually will be in Boston?
Do I think he's going to stay? No. I believe he's going to leave. I think Kyrie's has shown us it's not about necessarily winning championships with him. I think New York is probably the place that presents the best option for him for what he wants to do with the shoe deal he has with Nike, the individual where he could be a star there going back home. I just don't think he's a true Celtic. You know, it's like when you're a Celtic, you kind of want to be there. Mm-hmm. I played there 7 years of my career. I saw Paul Pierce there. I know how true Celtics are. I don't think Kyrie's yet a true Celtic and believes he's a true Celtic.
Shoe deal, movie deal, being a hero in New York. Those things more important to him than being a Celtic.
Maybe.
I mean, which is fine. Like, I think the whole thing about wanting to be a Celtic is corny. I mean, would you stop with this already, Antoine? It's about, you know, opportunity and the quality of the team and the money you're going to make. And so you're like everybody else. No one's going to leave those things on the table to be a Celtic. So that's just sort of silly.
No, but those whole things
about what he prioritizes, I think, you know, would he rather be the man in a big market that's good for his brand, or would he rather be a piece on a team that win championships? I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, and I wonder again, but part of the problem here is he's won. it's sad, right? But, like, he's got his title, so now he thinks about himself. Well, I got my ring. What do I need another one for? Yeah, maybe he's not wired that way. Like, you know, and again, now that I think of it, if you're a Tatum, you're a Brown, or, you know, Horford, Hayward, whoever, and you're sitting there going, dude, you keep talking about leadership. You're not even committed here. Why should I commit to you until you commit to us?
That could be what's going on, too. Something's going on. Something, right? Something stinks. You don't know exactly what it is.
But and the Celtics have no choice but to kiss his ass and if they want to keep him.
We go right back to your Celtics thoughts after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. We will start mixing in some other stuff later next hour, but right back to you after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.